Eat dinner and cook food. I think it gets confusing for people when I say the lemon side to go.
Right,
that's right. I didn't even think of that. The first page has a title on it, The Glorious King, and the second page does not have a title on it and is single-sided. So here are the topics for the next 3 weeks of class. By the way, if any of you missed my talk yesterday and wanted to hear it anyway, you can get it online from when I gave it 4 years ago, the last time when I taught it here. It's on the Spolker.net website. All right, so the next three, we have three classes left, including today. I thought today we would do Psalm number 24, Tehillim Kaf Daled. It shows up, it is the Sunday morning song of the day. We say it during the week when we put the Torah back in the Ark. We already did the one that we say on Shabbos and Yom Tov when we put the Torah back in the Ark. Today we're going to do the one that we say during the week on Monday and Thursday and fast days when we put it back in the Ark. And on Rosh Chodesh and on Chol HaMoed. We also say it shows up several times in the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur davening. So it was sort of it was a very popular one, so I thought we'd do that one. The other two that I was going to do over the next 2 weeks is Barchi Nafshi, which is said every Rosh Chodesh, which is a beautiful Perek HaTehillim. And I was going to end off, since we're ending off right before Hanukkah, with Mizmor Shir Chanukah HaBayit LeDavid, which is the one that we say every day during Hanukkah, the appropriate for Hanukkah. If you have different ideas, pressing prakim that you want to do, please let me know, and I'm happy to adjust. You know, I'm not tied down to either of those. I sort of just pick them. Tonight I'm tied to, but after tonight, you know, whatever. Okay, Le David Mizmor. We're looking for theme. We're looking for how many sections can you divide it into? What's going on? What's the story? Who's talking? Who's answering? All that kind of fun stuff. Le David Mizmor. La Donai Haaretz Umelo'ah. Tebel v'yoshvei ba, ki hu al yamim yisada, v'al nehalot yechoneneha. Mi ala b'har Adonai umi yakum bimkom kadcho, naki chatayim uvay levav, asher lo nasha lashav nafshi, v'lo nishba lemirma. Yisa v'racham eit Adonai utzakam Elohe yisho. Ze dor dor shav, mevakshei panacha, Yaakov, shala. Se'u sharim moshechem. V'hinashu pitchei olam v'yavo melech hakavod. Mi zeh melech hakavod? Adonai Yisus v'gibor, Adonai gibor melchama. Se'u she'arvim ashechem u'se'u pitchei olam v'yavo melech hakavod. I think I skipped the last part of the thing. I skipped the last two psukim. Mi zeh melech hakavod?
Yes.
You have it in English,
right? I skipped, and it's so important, but I have it in the English part, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Shem's not called Melech HaKavod Shala.
All right.
Of David Asham. This is the one right after the one that we did last week. Last week we did Mizmor LeDavid, you know, the regular Shala. So this one, Mizmor LeDavid, the one that was number 23. This week is number 24, LeDavid Mizmor, a flip of the title. What?
If David wrote these, why would he have done that?
There are different speculations. I sort of glanced at it and didn't really read it carefully, but I can check it again, you know, about it. Anytime I see that, what?
It sounds like it might not be important.
Right. It didn't strike me as something, you know, either. Actually, no, wait, I remember. The Gemara says, the difference between Mizmor LeDavid and LeDavid Mizmor is that Mizmor LeDavid, any Mizmor that starts with the words Mizmor LeDavid, David wrote it first and then got the Ruach HaKodesh. Anything that's LeDavid Mizmor, he got the Ruach HaKodesh and then he wrote it. I might be flipping. It was one and the other.
Okay.
It was something related with the order of the inspiration and the execution. Okay. The earth is the Lord's. Hashem Ha'aretz, you notice the rhyme in the beginning? Hashem Ha'aretz Umlo'ah, Tevo V'yos Ve'bach, Ki Hu Al Yamim Yishadah, Li'al Neharot Yechonen Neha. Close enough. But that dot in the hay at the end, by the way, is supposed to be pronounced. It's called the Mapik hay, with the dot on it, where you actually verbal, you make the hay sound when you read that letter. It's to indicate a possessive feminine. Whatever. Umalo'ah, all of her fullness. Okay, so the land belongs to God. That's where we're beginning here. The land belongs to God. Source number four. sorry about that. I should have done three separate pages. Forget that, source number four. Let's go back for a minute. I started with Sunday. That's where I started, and source number two. Just give me a minute. Okay. Source number two starts with Sunday. When do we say this mishmar? We say it Sunday morning, right? That's what the Mishnah said in Tami, in the Mishnah and the Shachar Tami that we did when we did the Shabbos one. This is the one that they said Sunday morning. Tanya. The Gemara teaches us as follows. It says in a Braita, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, why do we say it on Sunday? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda quoted Rabbi Akiva and he said the following. Birishon Mahayu Omer. What would they say on the first day of the week? Lahashem Ha'aretzu Malawa. They would say this parak of Tehillim. Al Shem Shekana V'Hikna V'Shalit Be'olamo. Because he acquired the world, and he continues to acquire it, and he is in charge of his world. And Rashi explains, I brought it on the bottom, this is from a different book, but it was with black letters and dots and everything, so it was much easier. Well, here's Rashi explains on the spot over there, Shekana Shamayim Ba'aretz, that he acquired heaven and earth, v'hiknet hevel v'lioshvei ba, and he continues to acquire the land for its inhabitants. Klomar konek kidei lahaknot. He acquired it for continual acquiring. He created it. He didn't acquire it. He created it for continuous creating. V'shalipa olamo. And he is in charge of the world. He's the tapinana, yechidi. He's alone. Shalo nivru ha-malachim ad yom sheni. The angels weren't even created until the second day. So when God created the world, he was alone. He was the only one who created it. He created it for the purpose of continuous creation. Uvetamid, and in the Mishnah, Rashi explains, L'fishu tchilat ma'aseh bereishit. Why do we say it on Sunday? Because Sunday is the first day of creation. We say this term on the first day of the week because it starts off saying the world belongs to God. God created this world. God owns this world. God continues to create this world constantly. Right? This world is created, we all know. This world is created independent of God. God did not need the world. Did not need to create the world in order to exist. God created the world. Should the world cease to exist, God would continue to exist. Should God cease to exist, the world would no longer exist. The world is dependent on God. God is not dependent on the world.
Is it possible for God to cease to exist?
Yeah, right.
No. That's the other part. That's the other part of that. Okay. But if you would even imagine that was
right.
A possibility.
Right. One is dependent on the other, the other is not dependent.
Correct. Right. It's used as an illustrative point. Of course, God cannot cease to exist because God is not bound by space or time. And something that is transcends space or time, he just is.
Right.
My brain starts little bubbles start coming out of me. Okay. Okay.
You have an effervescence.
I would like
to. There you go. So God created the world. He created it not only to continue creating, but he then gave us the world to create within the world. I brought you source number three because it talks about the creation of man. Right after God created man and woman, he gives them a blessing, and he said, God says to him, be fruitful and multiply and fill up the land and do what? And conquer it. Master it. Be in charge of it. Control it. Learn how my world works and learn how to use the components that I have in my world for better. I mean, we also do for worse, but that's what happens. When you have a good, you're also going to have a bad with it. He says, you people are going to rule the earth. So what is this Mishmor starting off by telling us? La Hashem Ha'aretz U'Malo'ah. The entire land belongs to God. Hebel v'yoshrei by even the parts that people live in. We belong to God. Everything here belongs to God. It is His. He created it. He owns it. He made it. It's His. By the way, some of you might have borrowed books from people, or maybe from me, or from some other people, and you'll see right on the inside of the front cover of the book, it has the letters Lamed Hey Vav, with two little schmitricks there. We call it Lahu. You write Lahu in the beginning of your book. Why do you write it there? L'Hashem Ha'aretz Ha'Melua. The whole world belongs to God. And then you write your name. But this book is in my safekeeping now.
Oh,
this is the custom of what we do. And what?
That's very cool.
I do it in books. I learned about it that we do it in books. I do it in books. The whole world belongs to God. This is in my safekeeping. Lahu, Venus Walter, same in books. On the inside. So,
Lamed,
then the hey, then the two shmitchiks, and above. La Hashem Ha'aretz Umeloa. Lamed Hey Vav.
Okay.
Lahu.
That's a technical term.
We would like to ask him some
questions.
Okay. So the Mishnah continues. The land belongs to God.
Yeah.
Everything in the land. And all the people on the land, and everywhere the people live, and everything that we think is ours, we're just watching it. Continue. Ki hu al yamim yishada. He set up the land on waters. Look in source number 4. I should have done it 3 separate pages. Next time I'm going to remember. Here I try to save the trees. All right. Source number 4 is Ibn Ezra. He says as follows. Here's what it's talking about here. Ki b'derech ha-toledet nivra'a liyotah tachat ha-mayim. Scientifically, the world, he says, in his science, according to God's plan, the world was created, the land was created under the water.
Under
the water. Think about it this way, that God did have to move the water, if you follow the days of creation in your mind, he had to move the water to reveal the dry land, right? Mm-hmm. So he created originally the land under the water. And even our atmosphere is there's water in the air, particularly today, where we are surrounded by water in a way. The land was created underwater. And he decided to take, he continues and explains, Ubechafet Hashem, by God's will, Yavesh Ktata, he dried up an end of it, v'hi ha-machta asher hi megula, that is the exposed portion. In other words, there are whole areas of land that's underwater.
Mountains, yeah, right, we're the top of the mountain.
We're the top of the mountain. All the exposed earth is the top of the mountain. What does that mean? That it's only by the grace of God that we're not drowning. That every day, he, so to speak, sits there and holds the land up above the water. He didn't just create the world. He's constantly involved in it. He's watching it and involved in it and making sure we see this every morning. That God every day that Hashem in His kindness and goodness renews every day the creation. I was talking about it with my kids tonight. We were talking about what I'm doing, and I said it's an amazing Hashem. Create every day. We talk about the concept. You know, we say, I mentioned it in this class, I think, before, when we go to sleep at night, 1/60th of us is dead. Our neshama goes back to God. 1/60th of us. When we wake up in the morning, God is recreating us. He's like, you know, it's like that last minute. You wake up in the morning, you open your eyes, Moshe, Ani, look at that. God, thank you for giving me another chance. For keeping me going. But God is renewing every day. This is what we believe. God is constantly recreating the world. I should move on a little bit because the rest of it is also fun, okay? Hu ha-yamim yishadah, he set it up on oceans, on the ha-lot yichonanaha, he established it on these rivers. End of section 1. Talking about the creation of the world. God's ownership over the world, the creation of the world. Section 2. The question begins. Mi ya'ale b'har Hashem. If the whole world belongs to God, then which mountain is going to be called Har Hashem, the mountain of God. The whole world belongs to God. What are we calling the mountain of God?
Where the Torah was given.
Okay, could be. Most commentaries say that the Har Hashem is talking about the Har Habayit, the mountain that the Beit HaMikdash is on, that the temple is on. Okay, Har HaMoriah, Har Habayit.
Not Har Sinai?
Not Har Sinai. No, you'll see why, because as we continue, then we talk about gates, and there are no gates on Har Sinai, but there are gates on the Beit HaMikdash. It just all fits in the context, okay? Who can go up on God's mountain? Umi yakum b'mekom kodesho, and who will arise in the place of his holiness? Answer being, who can go up into the Beit HaMikdash? No, everybody, not only the Kohen Gadol, right? Who can go up to the Beit HaMikdash?
Everybody.
Sure. Except, what? What do you need? There's certain guidelines. You can't just anybody. Mm-hmm. You know,
You have to be
Tahor. You have to be pure. You have to be, what are you doing when you come to the Beit HaMikdash? Mm-hmm. You're bringing a korban, right? Usually, probably, I would say 9 times out of 10. You're bringing a korban. What do you have to be like when you're bringing this korban? Aside from the technical term of tahor.
Sure.
But aside from that.
Doing tshuva, you have to be in the state of mind of asking for forgiveness.
You have to be in the mode, right. You have to have your internals to be in sync with your externals. Here you're coming with here you're coming.
To the internal, right. Lead the external.
Right, that's right. Inside. But here you have, you're coming, you're bringing a sacrifice to God. You're bringing a lamb. Okay, Pesach. You're bringing a lamb to God, and thanks and appreciation for taking us out of Egypt. If you're bringing this lamb to Him, and you're thinking in your mind, you know, really, I didn't need all this Torah stuff, and I totally could have just stayed there, and I didn't need any of this. If you're thinking that while you bring it, or even better,
you're thinking God doesn't need those
sheep. Well, God doesn't need the sheep. What does he need? He's going to eat my sheep. Right. What, these Kohanim? You know, they get everybody else's sheep. They don't need my sheep. Even better, what did you just do? You just cheated on your taxes. So you take your little birdie, go to the korban. I'm sorry. But I'm doing it again next year because, hey, I walk out with a new kitchen. You know? Is that the way you're supposed to? But wait a minute. But this person went to the mikvah. Is completely tahor. Is this the kind of person who should go on Har Hashem?
No.
Not completely tahor.
Absolutely
tahor.
Not.
Not completely.
Because internally he's not pure.
Right. Because his internals are not like his externals. So this is what they answer the question. This is how they answer the question. Who can go in? Someone who's naki chapayim, whose hands are clean. Uvar levav, his heart is pure. Asher lo nasha leshav nafshi, who did not swear falsely in God's name. That goes to what you said about what does God need this korban for? You know, blaspheming God. Velo nishba lemirma, and also just in general didn't lie. So a person who doesn't lie, who's honest, whose insides are like his outsides, who is reverential to God, who respects God, whose deeds and intentions are pure. Radak says in source number 5, Hinei hizkir shloset tchunot hadam b'pasuk zeh. There are 3 qualities of a person mentioned in this pasuk. Hamaaseh, the deed. V'hadibur, the speech, v'hamachshava, and the thought. Right? Isn't that great? And with these 3 things, v'shloshtani yahadam shalem shiyad naki b'masav u'bar b'lvavo. That this is the kind of person who can come in, a person who every aspect of his personality, his actions, his heart, his intentions, his speech, every part of him is solely directed towards God and towards the task at hand. That's the kind of person, really, who can go up onto Har Habayit. I brought you source number 6 because in the time of Yeshayahu, you're talking about before doing Navi, if I would do a Navi class, like teaching Malachim, the time of the kings, I would for sure also do like some of the Hasaras that we do that we're talking about the same time period. But I'm not. That's like a dream of mine in high school. I want to create a curriculum that learns Navi by time period, not by book. So that when you learn about David's life in Shmuel, you're also doing Tehillim with it. You're also doing Kohelet with it. You know, you also, like, well, Kohala would be with Shlomo, but, like, you know, when you do Shofim, you're also doing Root with it, because it happened at the same time, and you're doing the beginning of Shmuel.
So you get a sense of...
You don't get a sense of time. Right, you don't get a sense of time. So this section I brought you is from Yeshayahu, from Parag Aleph, the first chapter of Yeshayahu of Isaiah, which we actually read as part of the Haftarah on the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. This is part of Shabbat Chazon. Because Yeshayahu begins with the pasuk Chazon Yeshayahu Ben Amos, that Yeshayahu got this terrible nevuah. Here's what he says. This is his point. He lives in... Okay. Shimu Devar Hashem Kitzinei Sodom. Hear the word of the Lord, you captains of Sodom. He's talking to Jewish people. Could you imagine being... I mean, sometimes I think about it. I see what's available in this world, what's on the internet, and the way people treat each other, and I say to myself, what... Are we that far away from Sodom? Here he said, yeah, imagine the chutzpah to turn around and call the Jewish people, you, captains of Sodom. It brings to mind a line from a musical for Early Modern Millie. Right? Anybody?
Yeah.
Millie too?
Yeah.
What they think is odd, and Sodom and Gomorrah. What we think, what they think is... Something Sodom. What we think is odd and sometimes quite adorable, they think is something evil, maybe Sodom and Gomorrahable. Okay, you know. But this is, you know, we think it's fine, but the old school doesn't. They compare it to Sodom. So here he goes. He compares them to Sodom. He says, "Hazina Tarada Lekino Amamora. Listen to the teachings of God, you nation of Amora, of Gomorrah. Lama li lo zivchechem." What do I need all your sacrifices for, Yomar Hashem, says God. Savati olote lim v'chelev meri'im. I'm full. I'm stuffed with all of your sacrifices of the rams and the fat from the young, you know, animals and stuff. V'dam parim u'chasim and all the blood that you bring me, the achidim and all these sheep. Lo chasati, I don't want it anymore. Ki tavo l'opanai. When you come to see me, mi b'kesdom mi'edchem. Who asked you to bring me these korbanot, these sacrifices, Romesh Chatzerai, you tramplers of my court, you trespassers? Who asked you to bring me these korbanot? Hello, you did. The answer, what's going on here? Lo tosifu havimin chat shav. He doesn't want you to bring, don't continue to bring empty gifts, nothingness gifts. Kitoret toevahili. This incense is completely offensive to me. Chodesh v'Shabbat kiro mikra. Every Rosh Chodesh, every Shabbos, you come in and you say all these serious things. Lo uchal aven v'atara. I can't deal with this, these lies anymore, he says. Chodshechem u'moadechem shan'anasi. Your Rosh Chodesh and your Yantik, my soul despises, he says. They fill me with loathing. This is a good translation here. Hayu alai l'torach. It's a burden to me. Nyaleti nesho. I'm tired of dealing with it. Ubifarishchem kapechem. And when you spread out your hands to me, alimei naimikem, I'm going to turn my eyes away from you. Gam ki tarbut fila, and then shomea, you can pray all you want. I am not listening. Yedechem damim aleyu. Why? Your hands are filled with blood. Not the blood of the korbanot. Rachtu hizaku. Wash yourselves clean. Hasiru roa ma'alalechem. Remove the evil of your deeds, minegen enai, from before me. Chidlu hara. Stop this evil. Limdu heitev, learn Torah well. Dirshu mishpat, devote yourselves to doing the right thing. Ashru chamot, help the people who are wrong. Shaftu yatom, rivu amana, judge favorably for the widow and for the orphan. Like, do the right thing. Stop coming to me with blood on your hands, expecting it to all be fine. The Romeis Chatzerai, that phrase of the tramplers of my court, it's like, so I don't want that.
But in the in the beginning, when it asks the question, who has the merit to go on Har HaBayis and to bring the Karbanos in the first place? Come on, the prerequisite for that is if you really, really, really look and see how many people qualify for that. There aren't very many people.
Good. I'm coming to that.
Qualified.
In 2 months, Sukim. Hold that thought. I'm going to fly to your answer. Okay?
Don't run.
Pasuk Hey, these people who come to God completely with their inside and outside all the same positive thing, Yishab Racha Meid Hashem. These people will get a blessing from God. Notice, by the way, in the Pasuk before, it said, Asher lo nasha l'shav nafshi, that same language of talking about swearing falsely in God's name is the same language that is used to get the bracha. Those of you who are sensitive to the Hebrew. Uchtakam alakei yisho, and you will get good things from the salvation of God. Zed dor dor shav, he says, God, this is the generation of people who seek you out. That's what it's about. It's, are you honestly trying? Zed dor dor shav. These are the people who are trying to get close to you, Hashem.
Mm.
He says, Mevakshei panacha, those who want to see your face, who are they? Yaakov. Mevakshei panacha, Yaakov. The people who want to be close with you, God, that's Yaakov. That's us. That's the Jewish people. And then the closing word to the section, Selah. I had to do Selah, because Selah is just like this word that shows up all over the place, and what the heck does it mean, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so just a little digression to source number 7, and then you won't have to flip back and forth anymore, because you can go to the next page. Hodak explains the word Selah the first time it shows up in the book of Tehillim in chapter 3. He says as follows, Umilat Selah, the word Selah, Ani Omer, I say it means Kihu Lashon Hagbaha, that it is a language of lifting up. Means Sholu Hamisila. He quotes the pasuk on the left-hand side of the page that I brought you, which is a beautiful song by Kol Achai, Ivru Ivru Basharim, pass through the gates, Panu Derech Ha'am, clear the road for the people, Sholu Sholu Hamisila, build up the highway. It's a building up concept. Shaklu Me'evin, remove all the rocks. Harimu Nesal Hamim, raise an engine over the people. This is a herald of the time of Mashiach, when everyone's going to come back to Yerushalayim. In the same book, by the way, that had source number 6, notice that it's the same guy. He's saying it. He had a very, he switched back and forth a lot. He got a lot of different books. So back to Radakwa, how does he explain it? He says, Klamar ba'otwa makom shehin izker zot hamila haita haramat kol hamizmor. Every time the word Selah appears, it meant that the one who was singing it was supposed to raise his voice. It's a crescendo, to build himself up to a crescendo. An instruction to the maestro. That's what he says. This isn't your standard interpretation. And the proof, he says, is because the only place in Tanakh that this word Selah shows up is in the book of Tehillim and 3 times in the book of Habakkuk. So it's
in the book of
Habakkuk where it's talking about songs. In three songs. So he says, since this is the only time that it's appearing in this way, and it's an instruction to the maestro, build up here, you know, it's like, you know, where the piano. Sure. You build up to the crescendo, or the whole build up is the crescendo?
Crescendo,
you build it, the build up is the to forte. There you go. That's the, that mark on the piano book. Okay. Right, of ascending. Good. Hold that thought, because we're going to get there in a minute also. Okay, back to the rest. Now we finished section 2. Please.
I think actually Selah is like amen.
Some interpret it that way. This is by Zach. This is a medieval interpretation.
Okay.
He takes a different approach. So, okay. All right. Move on to section 1. There's a pretty clear ending, though, for that section. Also, the word Selah is like a clear, this is the end of the section, begin the next movement. That word was chosen deliberately. You'll soon see why. She'u she'arim ha'shechem. We seem to have a conversation here, a give and take. She'u she'arim ha'shechem. Open gates. Open up. V'hina shu'u pitzchei olam. And open up. V'yavo melech hakavod, so that the king of glory may enter. Someone who's the gatekeeper, evidently, is saying, Mizeh melech hakavod, which king are you talking about as the glorious king? The answer back being, Hashem izuz v'gibor, the God who is mighty and strong, Hashem gibor melchama, the God who is strong in war. Then they ask the question again. They put forth the request again. Open up again. The king of glory may come in, and the response of the gatekeepers is, who is the king of glory? And this is a different response this time from the people who are trying to get in, saying, the Lord of hosts, he is the king of glory. Hashem Tzvakot, whom thou art HaKavod. So let's explain what's going on here. Who's requesting that the doors be open? We're going to start with source 10, even though I know it's all in Hebrew. I'm going to just tell it to you outside. He says, this is a time when the Jews are returning. You know, they used to take the ark out to war. When they went to war, they would take the ark with them. Okay? So this is a time when the people would carry, the Levites, I guess, would carry the ark back to the Beit HaMikdash, back to its place. They're just bringing the ark home. Which, by the way, is why we say it on the weekday when we put our Torah back in the ark. It's a symbolic of returning the Aron to the Beit HaMikdash, to its place, which is, you know. So they bring the Aron in. They call out to the gatekeepers, let's go in. Who's coming? God. Which God? The God of war. That's why he says that they're coming back from war, because it says the God of war.
What kind of a question is that altogether?
Because
who's coming?
Who's coming?
The God of war. What kind of shaila is that?
Ah, good.
What kind of a...
I think...
Why is it a shaila?
I think it's going back to talking about the pure person. Remember, we're still in the same parak talking about who can go up to Har HaBayit. So he's asking those people who are carrying the Aron, do you have your priorities straight?
Oh.
You just had that ark out to war with you. You want to come now and put it back. I want to make sure, still, that you are still respectful of God.
Excuse me, isn't it still
they had
blood on their hands because they were at war?
Could be. Right, but the blood on their hands is from a different, from the war. We're going to get to that also in a minute, in source number 9. Right, in source number 9, we'll talk about that. Right, it's a different kind of blood. It's excessive blood. Right. Okay, we'll talk about that. Okay. All right, so they're coming and they're bringing the need to ask permission, which is the appropriate thing. We always ask permission, even when walking into our own houses. By the way, the halakha says that we should knock on the door, even before walking into our own houses, just a couple knocks and walk in the door.
How about if you honk the
court? Whatever. Any indication, some kind of indication of respect for the place that you're in, and for the, you know, and especially in the Beit HaMikdash, you're going to need to ask permission to enter the Beit HaMikdash with this, you know, to return the Aron to its place. And he says it here, if you want to take it home, you can read it in the teeny tiny letter. Okay, but source number 8, Rashi says this is talking about a very specific situation. Someone very specific who is trying to bring the Aron to the Beit HaMikdash at a very specific time in history and ask the question, please open the gates. And who was the specific question? Says Rashi in source number 8, B'yamei Shlomo Bino. This happened in the days of Shlomo, his son. Whose son? Right, who wrote the Mizmor. When he brought the Aron back, he brought it into the Holy of Holies. The Davku Sharim Zo Mizo. What did they do? The gates locked up for him. Amar Ashrimba Arba Renanot. He said 24 songs. Velo Nanet didn't answer. Until he made mention of his father David, and then the doors opened. This is a very brief account of the story that's in source number 9. The Gemara tells us the following story. Amar David with Nekadosh Baruch Hu. David said to God, Ribono Shel Olam, Mechol Li Al Oto Avon. God, forgive me for that sin. You could speculate to which sin he's referring to. Most commentators say he's referring to Bathsheba. Amarlo, God said to him, Machol Lecha, you're forgiven. Amarlo, David says to God in return, Asha'i mi oz b'chayai. Please give me a sign of my life that I should know I'm forgiven. Amarlo, God answers, B'chayacha eni modia. I can't do it in your lifetime, but b'chayei Shlomo banacha eni modia. I'll do it in the time b'incha. I'll do it in the time of Shlomo, your son. K'shabanah Shlomo at Beit HaMikdash, and Shlomo built the Beit HaMikdash. Because Kanesh Aron the Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. He wanted to bring the Aron in. Zavkusharim Zabazah, the walls stuck together. Amar Shlomo Asimba Arbarin Anot. He said 24 songs. Lo Nana, it wasn't answered. Tatach the Amar. So then he said, let me say Shu'usharim Ashechem. Let me say the parak maybe that my father wrote. Maybe that'll help. What happened? So they still didn't open. Amru mi hu demel hakabod. Amar lehu Hashem izuz v'gibor. They didn't open, but they said to him, who is this Melech HaKavod? And he said to them, Hashem izuz v'gibor. The gates now are checking David's, Shlomo's intentions. Chazari amar shu sharum Hashem. Then he went again and asked them to open. They said to him again, mi hu Melech HaKavod? And he answered, the right answer this time, Hashem spakod Melech HaKavod tzela, but still below Nana, they still didn't open. Kevan shamar, until he said, Hashem Elokim, until he invoked the name, he said, God, please remember the chesed of David, my father, your servant, miyad nana. He was right away answered and his voice opened. And then all of David's enemies, it was very clear that David was forgiven by everyone at that point.
Very strange.
I'm going to explain it in a moment. I want to go back. I want to go back and give a whole different perspective on the whole thing.
Excuse me.
I think that means it's not so simple.
Yes, exactly.
I'm getting it. Okay. We started off by saying God owns the world. He owns everybody in it. Seemingly the contrast, either somebody making some kind of statement, God forbid, that God didn't create the world, that it was created as a, I don't know, by humans, by whatever you want to say, or to also combat the concept that God is only in the heavens, right? We said he creates the world, he's constantly involved in the world. We don't believe in the clockmaker theory that God made the clock and left it to run on its own. We believe that God is constantly involved in everything that goes on in the world.
Yeah, he keeps track of his batteries.
Right. He checks in and keeps replacing them. We spoke about the significance of God owning the land is because he has a vested interest in it, he owns land, he has a vested interest in it, and he keeps it going, directly involved in the existence of land, the existence of water in our daily lives. Then when we moved on to Miyah Lebahar Hashem, who is this person who can go up into God's mountain? So I've been bringing to you all along the approach of Rabbi Avi Dalmal here in the Arab and throwing him in. So he says, Miyah Lebahar Hashem, who can go up into the mountain of God? Let's look at it figuratively. We're not talking about who can go into the Beit HaMikdash. We're talking about Mi'ala Bahar Hashem. Who is the one who will merit a close relationship with God? Who will make it all the way up to the top?
Moshe.
And, the answer is not Kichatayim Uvalei Lav, someone who truly tries, and the Zedor Zorshav, the people who truly try to connect with God, whose goal is to make their internals in sync with their externals, to not just look from, but be from, those are the people who are gonna ascend. But he says that he based it on something very interesting. Here we're going to do just a minute textual study. Where it says right here in Pasuk Gimel, in source number 3, there are two questions. Who will go up on the mountain of God, and who will arise in the place of his holiness, right, in his holy place? Your translator here, the New JVS translation, translates those two parallel parts of the same question reiterated in different words, right? Poetic. Says Rabbi Dalmal, who will go up, who will ascend towards godliness, and who will take that person's place of Kedusha? That we are all ascending on a ladder. And when the person in front of me goes up, I have opportunity to fill his spot and to move up as well. So he would not capitalize the his in his holy place. Because it's not referring to God's holy place, but the holy place that was left vacated by the person before me. This indicates some kind of movement. Then he moves on to, you don't have to like it. It's an interesting perspective.
I don't understand it.
That when you advance towards God,
all of us, yeah.
When you do, I now have opportunity to take the place that you vacated to bring myself closer to God as well.
And
we all help each other.
No. Step forward.
When she's becoming a more godly person.
On a higher rung.
Yeah,
right.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
When she's going up on a higher rung on the ladder, okay. I can then step into her place on the ladder.
So like the Lamakov Sadikim.
Right. You have the ladder. You have this upward movement, a constant upward movement. We're all working together. we're all on top of each other and pulling each other up as well, making room for the person behind us to move up. He says, and the reference of generations here in this middle section also, Zedor Dorshav, this is the generation of the people who are searching for you, God. The concept of a generation, of passing from generation to generation, a constant movement towards godliness. So when we ask the question of Mi Aleh B'Har Hashem, the question is, who can ascend to godliness? The answer being, he who is sincere in his striving towards godliness. And then what about this last section about opening the gates of God? He brings this Gemara, and he says that David was supposed to build the Beit HaMikdash, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't. Why?
He was a man of war.
He had blood on his hands. He was a man of war. He's Zuz V'Gibor, by the way. Right? He was in Gibor Melchama. He was a man of war. He couldn't build the Beit HaMikdash. Shlomo, once he had built the Beit HaMikdash, could not bring the Aron into the Beit HaMikdash until he came full circle and used David. First, the Mizmor that his father wrote, and then to remind God of the kindness and the connection that he had with David. That father-son relationship, the continuity of the generations, was what was necessary to bring God's godliness into his home. Capital H.
So David couldn't do it without Shlomo.
And Shlomo couldn't do it without David. This is what Rabbi Dalmel suggests.
So there's
as a different way to look at this.
Right. That micro is us in the macro.
Correct. And now, why do we say this at the beginning of the week? We're starting off our week. Right. It's time to start climbing up. Let's go back to the beginning of the Mizmor even. You're about to be a creative individual this week, right? You're about to do things this week. But remember in whose world you're doing them. You think you're great.
Yeah.
I will do everything this week. I will rule the world. I will get all the laundry done. Okay? I will never have dirty dishes in the sink. I will have fresh bread at every meal. I will have clean matching clothing every day. I'll do all those things. But Hashem says, don't forget, it's my world. Muntini. Mi Aleh B'Har Hashem, understand your limitations. Understand, though, also what's expected of you, that you are expected to constantly strive towards godliness.
So you get up in the morning and you say, please, Ribbono Shel Olam, help me to get the laundry done today.
Yes, and help me to have a successful week. That it's all in your hands. But here's what he says also, and here's the great part, the end of it. Who does the whole thing end off with? Hashem Tzvakot Hu Melech HaKavod. With Hashem, the Lord of Hosts, the God of Glory, it ends off, the Mishnah ends off with only him. Just like it began with only him creating the world, which puts our lives in perspective, that we come and we go, God is always. And we might feel then that we're insignificant. However, God and his might and his greatness saw fit to create us and to give us his Torah that we are now putting back into the ark. I'm like mixing times when we're saying this.
Mm-hmm.
Never lose sight of that perspective that the Torah is connected to God, is connected to us, is connected to the Torah. We're all one thing. And your goal in your week of being creative and being successful and ruling this world is to get closer to God.
By doing your laundry.
By doing your laundry. 100%. There's one last point, since we do say it many times on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, I wanted to mention to you, to point out to you that it is appropriate to say, because the first two sentences are talking about creation of the world. What do we celebrate on Rosh Hashanah? The creation of the world. The middle section is talking about judging. There's a judging element in that middle section. Who is appropriate to get close to God? That's what God's deciding on Rosh Hashanah. And the end part with God's kingship is the theme of Rosh Hashanah, with God being king. So I just wanted to show you that how that fits in very well also with the Rosh Hashanah gathering. So good luck with your godliness in the laundry this week.